November is National Family Caregivers Month. One in four Americans is stepping up to help older loved ones with everything from meals to bills. Family caregivers spend thousands out of their own pockets each year, and too many have to quit their jobs to keep providing care. Working families can't afford to wait. It's time to care for America's caregivers. Learn more at aarp.org/careforcaregivers. Paid for by AARP.
From the Mighty 990 Broadcast Center, you're waking up in Starnes Country with Todd Starnes.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Principal Toyota Memphis Studio. This is Starnes Country. Do not adjust your radio. I am not Todd Starnes. I'm John Covington here with the lovely Kristen New. Todd is speaking at the Memphis Optimist Club today at the Memphis University School. And he said, I'm not going to be able to be there, so I want the best, the absolute best to fill in. And when they were not available, they reached out to me and Kristen.
The JV team. We're the JV team.
So here we are. We are happy to be here. We got a lot to talk about today. Brent Taylor will be joining us in the second segment. He's going to help us try to figure out the latest lunacy going on from the Democratic playbook. We got some financial guys. That's what I call them. That's from Strategic Financial Partners will be in later. I could certainly use some advice on my finances.
I promise you I won't know what they're talking about.
That's right. That's right. We are the audience they need to be reaching.
Yes.
Pretty clearly. So we're looking forward to that.
And you can always count on Memphis to make news. So we're going to go through some news today. And we have a lot to cover in this short hour.
Well, that's true. Memphis is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to news. You know, we never worry about filling in because there's always something to talk about. But I do want to get a little something off my chest. We had some great news the other night where the county commission voted. I know everybody's kept up with the Sergeant Lilly story, the deputy sheriff who was injured in the line of duty. And, you know, it's going to impact him. He's got a long, long, long road to recovery. And to me, I just don't know if he's going to be able to come back and be able to do the job. And so his benefits were going to be cut off, and the county commission voted to continue his benefits. But folks, you know, I'm the vice president of the Memphis Police Association. I was an officer on the street for a number of years, and I advocate and represent law enforcement. And I deal with politicians quite a bit. And I have to say, I have to get this off my chest. I'm so happy about what happened the other night, but they should have never been in that situation, because back in 2011, the county commission did away with line of duty retirements. Now, line of duty retirement, if you hurt so bad, even if you've only been on 3 years, you hurt so bad you can't come back and do the job, and it's going to negatively impact you for the rest of your life, you get a 25-year pension and health care for the rest of your life, which is right, you know, because you sacrifice so much. But in 2011, the county commission did away with that. And it was replaced basically with OJI workers' comp medical coverage, but there was no medical retirement track, so you would at least get medical for the rest of your life. Well, in 2022, the county commission came back and got rid of that. And so that's where we are right now. So there's something – so you get medical benefits. Sergeant Lilly, he was on this track, and I'm not going to say their names. You're going to hear about them more. There's more – deputies in this position, you reach it something that's called maximum medical improvement, which means you reach the level you're not going to get any better. And at Memphis, and a lot of Memphis does this right, if you reach that and you've been hurt in the line of doing the job, you get a line of duty retirement.
Right.
And you're taken care of for the rest of your life. Now, let's say you're hurt off the job, or you're hurt in such a way that
you can't do your job.
Right, or something that's not as traumatic. We also have a medical retirement, which means you retire, you only get credit for the years you worked, but basically it covers your medical for the rest of your life. And so, you know, it brought back memories as an officer so many times, and I'm not trying to beat up on the county commission, but let's be honest about this. You know, a lot of politicians like to wrap their arms around officers for photo ops, and they're always going to say, we support, you know, our officers. But sometimes when the rubber hits the road, that's not what happens. And I'm digging back and really looking at this in 2022, and it kind of seems clear to me, I'm not sure the commission knew what they were voting on.
And that's a problem, right? I mean, you have to know what you're voting on.
Right. And it's the transparency. And there's a group, there's a retirement board that kind of handles it. So now I'm digging into them. And so, you know, if you're an elected official, be true to your word when you say you support officers. And also dig in deeper, understand what you're voting on. And just as a larger sense, citizens should have more transparency. I know it falls on us also to be educate ourselves. But when I spent the better part of a day trying to get details on this stuff, and I'm not Johnny come lately when it comes to looking at government stuff, and I'm having trouble finding it, that's a problem.
And don't congratulate yourselves for voting on something that you messed up. So you're just fixing a problem that you created.
Exactly right. And, you know, so we're down 900 jailers and deputy sheriffs. And one of the reasons you're down so many, it's stuff like this.
Right.
And also in 2011, when they did away with the line of duty, they also cut the percentage of their pensions way down. And so everybody hired after 2011. You know, if you came on 20 years ago, you still have a pretty good pension. But like every few years, it seems that they make it worse and worse.
Is this a way to defund the police? Is this because of radicalism? What is this? Or is just they have no money? Or they're not reading what they're voting on? Or is it all the above?
When you have in government work, there's a lot of employee costs because you're not building widgets. Mm-hmm. You know, you're offering services, which is employees. And a lot of times people are just like, well, it should be run like a business. Yeah, efficiency. But sometimes if you look at your overheads, the cost to get in good quality people who want to be there, you're going to have to pay, make sure they're well compensated and have good retirements. Because the old thing was you'd never get rich in government work or going to be a police officer or firefighter, but you rested assured you would have good benefits because you sacrificed so much of your body in the job.
Yeah, and I don't believe the fact that we have no money. We do have money. We just waste it, and it disappears. It like poof disappears, and we don't know where it is. But yet we seem to have money every time we want to sue for something.
Oh, right. Are we sue for something?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh,
so there's you know, just we just saw that the Memphis Shelby County School Board is now going to sue the commission. So apparently we have money for that, but we don't have money to, we have ceiling tiles falling on kids while they're trying to do their schoolwork.
Go figure. And my dealing with budgets and politicians always say, well, you know, John, budgets are a series of choices. I get that, but also they're a series of priorities. And the priorities should be that our kids get a good education or in a building with stuff not falling on them, that our officers are taken care of, that we take care of the public, the roads.
Over hotels. Over sports arenas. Over things like that that are nice. I mean, they are, and we need them at some point. But we do have to fix the immediate problems. And then when you do fix the problems that you yourself created, don't expect to get an applause. You're not going to get one.
Bam! There she is, Kristen New. I like, she's fiery. She's fiery.
Fiery. I've had no sleep. I'm in a mood.
Well, you know, we're worked up today, but I just wanted to touch on that because it, as someone used to say, it made me feel a certain kind of way. And because I've just seen so often in the public, the pat on the back, and then they go into votes and they vote on things that really do negatively impact these heroes and their families. And that's where we are now. And my last thing on the subject, and I promise I'll stop talking about this, is I have heard nothing about the plan going forward to fix this long term, because I said there's some more deputies in the pipeline who are facing this kind of stark reality of they could just be cut off and just like, hey, I know you sacrificed your body, your soul, your health. It's going to impact you and your family for the rest of your life, but sorry, you're on your own. And that's just unacceptable. So
yeah, we see that every day with police officers, with veterans, with anybody that serves in their community. And they don't get the payback that they deserve. And so, and they always blame it on somebody else.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like, take some responsibility and, you know, we can do better. We as citizens of Shelby County deserve better, and we have to demand better. And, you know, and it falls on us, too. I did also want to mention today, and it'll be around 2 o'clock, well, not around 2 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a House Judiciary Subcommittee. It's entitled Restoring Law and Order in High Crime U.S. Cities. And it's going to be looking at the impact of President Trump's program here to go into these cities and try to fix this epidemic of crime. And the mother, you know, as you may recall, tragically, we lost an officer, MPD officer, Rusty McKinney, a couple years ago. And his mother will be testifying, Tina McKinney, about the impact of violence on police families when officers are hurt or that they lose their lives in the line of duty. And our president, Matt Cunningham, he's up there with her. You know, we're trying to make this trip as easy as possible for her so she can just focus because this is going to be an emotional day for her.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
And so our plan was like, don't just be at the airport. We got you set. We got your hotel. We got everything laid out. You just go give your testimony. Speak from your heart, and we got the rest. So,
you know, I did see some National Guard troops in the wild the other day. I was really excited about
that. Yeah, you texted me. You were all excited.
I was so excited about that. So I haven't actually seen them because I don't go downtown very much or at all, really. And they're kind of a mythical creature, right, that I haven't seen them, but I know they're here. And I was at Eastgate Shopping Center, and I saw they were patrolling Eastgate. So they're kind of moving out to East Memphis.
Did they have a picture of you? Beware of this woman.
No, they. I saw them in the car. I took a picture. I was like, they probably were suspicious. I was rolling by and really slow so I could get a picture.
Yeah, she sent it to me. It's like the crocodile hunter. It's like, easy, easy.
easy. But I was really happy. I actually, I do know that there's a lot of theft going on in those shops because I actually witnessed one. It was about 6 months ago I was there, and they stopped a guy, and he threw down all of his stuff. But then he started screaming at them as they were catching him in the act that it was their fault that they caught him stealing. And, of course, I'm not there to witness that. I am there to roll on out of there. So I just turned on my heels and left. So
I'm out. You were there to keep it real.
I am out. I am out. You start some crazy stuff. I am not there to take pictures or videos. I am there for about 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
And then I'm out. So.
Well, yeah. And so it was really funny. I mean, she was so excited. And I've gotten used to seeing him because every day, as I said, we opened up the MPA. It's like, hey, guys, come in. We got water. We got clean bathrooms. That's a big thing in Memphis. You know? So we got a table you can come eat at, a microwave. And there's a stream of that. And I always want to say kids, but you got people of all different ages.
Yeah.
But I try to shake their hand. They're the nicest people you're going to meet. And I know that
we're supposed to be scared of them. We're told that we're supposed to be scared of them.
That's right.
But, you know, we're not scared
of them.
We're
going to lawsuit you.
So that, you know, that's the thing. We respect them. We're glad that they're here. And now, of course, there is a judge who has come down in her ruling, a chancellery judge.
Yeah.
Who says that they can't be here. We're going to have Senator Brent Taylor come on in a little while to talk more about that.
Oh, absolutely. So
yeah, so he's fired up about it.
We're fired up. You should be fired up.
So these judges, we're really sick of it. The fatigue has set in on this lawfare. We are done with it. I think everybody's pretty much sick of it. Every time you turn around, you have some judge that you've never heard of come out of the woodwork to put a kibosh on something that Trump is doing to help these communities.
You tell them, Kristen, and you don't hear the word kibosh every day.
Kibosh.
Helen, I think we're up against our break, if I'm correct. That is a nod, yes.
They're going to cut me off.
We don't know what we're doing over here. You got to watch us. Anyway, so we got Brent Taylor's coming up next. We're going to jump into all that. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Tired of giving away all your rental profits to a property manager? You don't have to. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to find and manage tenants. Keep your 10% and sign up for free at TurboTenant.com.
Welcome back. We are in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio, and you are listening to Starin's Country on KWAM. It is John, not Todd today, and Kristen. Todd is actually speaking at the Memphis Optimist Club today at the Memphis University School, so he asked us to fill in, and we said, okay, fine.
We said, Todd, we're ready to go. We're bringing sexy back, though they asked.
Whatever you want, Todd.
They asked for a receipt, so we couldn't return sexy. We tried to bring sexy back, but there was a receipt. But
they said no thank you.
They said no thank you. But the star of the hour, the star of the show, the star of the conservative movement, the star of the movement to make Memphis matter, Senator Brent Taylor is here. Mr. Taylor, Senator, sir, what's new?
Good morning, guys. I'm glad to be here. I'll tell you that I'm a little off my game. First of all, Todd, to do this every morning, I'm not a morning person, so it would be brutal. But I'm a little off my game. I've got a doctor's appointment later today for do the blood work for a physical. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't have my normal routine. I couldn't eat or drink anything after a certain time yesterday. And so I haven't had my coffee. I haven't got no caffeine. So there's no telling what I'm liable to say. This is probably a good opportunity.
Have the dump button ready.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, have it nearby. So this is probably a good time to have me. No telling what I'm liable to say.
Well, this is perfect. So I want to get your thoughts on this. And I don't want to frame it any way negatively, this stupid, ridiculous, outrageous, stupid lawsuit. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you described it perfectly. And I was in a meeting about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when that lawsuit was first filed, and was in a meeting with Attorney General Scarametti. And I asked him about the lawsuit, and he said that, you know, there's not much case law surrounding this particular topic, mm-hmm. because the National Guard just normally does not get called up that often. So he said basically it's going to be some text in the Constitution, some statutory language, their argument and ours, and that's about all the judge is going to have to go on. And then you throw in a judge who's bilingual and was able to write that lawsuit in two languages, and it was written in English and stupid. And so we got what we got, and I have every confidence it'll be overturned on appeal. And clearly, the judge was from Nashville.
Oh,
and
by design.
Yeah, she was not doing any Christmas shopping at the Wolf Chase Mall the other day when someone was killed in the mall.
Exactly, because real people get hurt. People get hurt when I get it's a silly season for politics, but this is life or death. And, you know, you brought up this comparison back in the day when the desegregation of schools in Mississippi and in the South, you know, President Eisenhower brought in the marshals, brought in the guard. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done this before. We're facing really tough circumstances.
Well, they constituted that as an emergency. So this isn't another emergency. And I think kids getting killed in the street is an emergency. I think people not being able to leave their houses, and they don't even have to leave their house. They have bullets ricocheting through their windows.
Exactly right.
That is an
exactly
emergency. Right. It's an emergency when I go out to a restaurant and I come back out, my car is not there. That's an emergency for me. And people are sick of it. And we are so happy. And we have some very good numbers coming out, too, from the National Guard being here and from the Memphis Safe Task Force.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think if you have those numbers, I'd love to hear them because they are excellent.
Yeah. And let me this is what Lee Harris. Lockdown Lee Harris, and
like
Tyrae Tammy, when they had their press conference together, and Tyrae Tammy, for some reason, quit showing up. I'm not real sure why she quit showing up at the press conferences, but nonetheless, this is what the judge is trying to stop from the lawsuit, and Lee Harris with his lawsuit. Since the Memphis Safe Task Force has been here a little over a month, there have been 2,700 arrests. There have been 32,000 traffic stops. And as you know, traffic stops where you catch a lot of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
631
Absolutely.
Recovered firearms. Remember, Lockdown Lee Harris and Tyrae Tammy and Crazy J.B. Smiley and the rest of them, they all want to get guns off the streets. Well, here, we're getting 631 illegal guns.
Well, yeah, you're welcome.
My God, yeah. Let's have a lawsuit to stop that.
That's right. And there have been 364 stolen vehicles recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, you were just talking about cars being stolen. But listen to this. Since year over year, the murder rate is down 48%, aggravated assault down 45%, sexual assault down 52%, robbery down 63%, burglary down 30%, larceny down 40%, motor vehicle theft down 71%.
Unbelievable.
And the most important statistic is there have been over 100 missing kids that have been found and recovered.
That is huge.
And how do you work that in? How do you work that in to say, I need all of that stopped? I mean, how is Harris, I don't even understand his game plan here because politically it's not smart.
Well, let me throw this out. We're coming up on a break.
No.
But we're going to have our strategic guys back. But Brett, could you stay for our last segment? Because I want to dig deeper.
Sure.
There's just so much to cover.
There's so much, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Glad to. I get paid.
Ain't mathing.
Yeah, I get paid by the hour.
Okay,
so
good. Great. Well, we'll give you overtime.
So stay tuned. We're going to have Adam and Chris come in here. We're going to talk a little finance, and we're going to get back with Brent because there's just so much we need to cover. So, hey, you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Oh, I have to keep talking, they said. How much longer do we have? Oh, there's the music. That's the beauty of John and Kristen. You have
real
moments.
We're live. You just got to roll with it, okay, people?
Anyway, stay tuned. All that stuff I said before still stands, so we'll be right back.
Tired of giving away all your rental profits to a property manager? You don't have to. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to find and manage tenants. Keep your 10% and sign up for free at TurboTenant.com.
Are we back?
Listen, how much bourbon? We're back. Welcome back to the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. You're listening to Starnes Country on KWAM with John and Kristen filling in for Todd. Now, Todd, I've always thought he's a pretty optimistic guy, so he's speaking at the Memphis Optimist Club today at the Memphis University School, so we want to make sure we mention that. But some exciting news for Kristen and I, because Kristen and I know we have a passing understanding of anything financial.
Generous. That is generous. Well, we have Strategic Financial Partners in here, and they're going to explain to us what a fixed annuity is.
Adam, Chris... I'm just throwing Adam and Chris. One of you is Adam, one of you is Chris. Okay, now I know. Now,
roll call.
Kristen, John's pretty easy, but it is 2025.
So. You never know. Don't want to assume anything, guys.
But, guys, we are your perfect audience because we know nothing.
Nothing.
And so if somebody came up to me and said, hey, John, what is a fixed index annuity? And how does it work for a retirement plan? I would stare at them blankly.
I would call a friend, phone the audience, whatever lifeline you could give me. So you guys are our lifelines.
So if you can, because we hear annuity. I know that as a term. I know of it.
I know of the commercials where they sing to you about it. Well, you have an annuity. I don't know what it is.
You're thinking about the J.G. Wentworth.
That's what a J.G.
That is. Okay.
That is. Okay. But I don't know what that means.
So gentlemen, school us. What is that?
So first of all, when you have questions, call a financial advisor.
Oh, right.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
Sound advice.
Call a pro. Yeah.
So, don't call John.
So to talk about just a fixed indexed annuity, it's just another tool in the toolbox when you think about what can I put my money in to protect it or to grow it. And for the fixed indexed annuity, it is a retirement vehicle. So you've worked your entire life. You've saved into a 401k or an IRA. And now you want to take your foot off the gas and you want to add a layer of protection to your assets. So it is an insurance product. So what the fixed part of it is that the insurance company is going to fix a rate. It's not going to change. It's going to stay the same rate for the life of the contract or for a 1 year point to point. So let's say you got into the annuity this time this year. It's going to measure an index, the S&P 500, until this point next year. And where the index ended, so we'll say it ended at 10% up, but you're capped at 7, you would get 7% credit on your money.
Okay.
So it is.
That makes sense to me. Okay.
It's a way to protect what you've saved because it has complete downside protection. So the market goes up, it goes down. We're not going to worry about the down because we're in a fixed annuity. All we're worried about is, do I get that full cap rate of 7%?
And to add to that, ultimately, lifestyle drift is very real, right? Especially when you get up there in age, you get into your 50s and your 60s, and you start thinking about, okay, what is my lifestyle going to look like when I retire? Ultimately, you want to make sure that you're still having that consistent income. That is what an annuity, specifically a fixed annuity, can do, especially if you're a little bit more risk averse. You want to be able to say, hey, I know where this is coming from. This is fitting my lifestyle. And I don't have to just quit a bunch of stuff cold turkey at the end of the day when I make that drastic change from working to non-working.
Well, I'm visibly shaken at being described as up in age in my 50s, but I've gotten used to it. And you said there's downside protection. How many things in life have downside protection? I mean, marriage. Oh, wait. You do have some downside days.
What would be the downside to doing this? There's some risk or something involved.
What are the cons?
What are the cons?
So it's all about your particular financial picture. So it's not a one-size-fits-all product. And that's the one thing that we want to stress the most to each individual that we work with, is that your financial picture is different from everybody else's. So it has to fit first and foremost into your portfolio. The downside there's a lot of people out there like J.G. Wentworth that say this is an annuity. And so here's the negative connotation that people generally associate with annuities is that they're illiquid, mm-hmm. that they come with this long surrender schedule and that you're penalized if you need to take your money out early. So his whole, it's my money and I need it now.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what he's basically saying is that you got sold an annuity and it's locked up and you can't get your money. That's a bad advisor if he did that because it didn't fit their situation. He should have been able to identify that you have a liquidity issue and an annuity may not be the right solve for you.
Okay. Well, you kind of bring up a point, though, because the prevalence of that commercial, it's stuck in our heads. It's effective marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be a lot of people in that situation.
Because I walk away from it saying, I guess an annuity is bad.
Bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's my takeaway. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what they're trying to
right.
push. And so, yeah, and I know you wanted to add.
Well, ultimately, I fully agree with Adam. Annuities get a bad reputation. And we want to try to switch the narrative on that. Annuities are still a tool in your toolbox that you need to be able to take account for. They apply to different types of people for different situations based on your goals. Now, there's a lot of people out there that they've got their assets, they've been able to grow and do well, whether it's with their 401k or anything of that nature, and they're just sitting there like, hey, what do I do with it now? I've got to use it, right? I've got to put mm-hmm. it towards something. We like to say that, you know, you retire on your income, not your assets, right? So your assets are there specifically. You don't want to just start, you know, religiously using those and live off of them and hopefully that you don't outlive it. Right. A fixed index annuity helps with that because it allows you to take control and put yourself in the driver's seat of like, OK, hey, what do I need on a week by week, month by month basis to where I can comfortably live, meet my goals, protect my kids, my family, and not have to worry about going to the bank every month and taking withdrawal.
Well, you never want to get into a position, I don't guess, where you're like, oh, crap, I might live too long.
It is a scary thing to think that you might outlive your money.
It's a terrifying. I mean, it's bad enough because I think when I get to a certain age, I'd be worried about getting a dog. That's like, I don't want to outlive the dog. You know,
I think your kids don't want you to outlive your money either because
Rowan, if you're listening, I know you're only six, but this is important information.
Come on, girl. You've got some responsibilities.
Well, that's one of the things that we ask first and foremost is, you know, what does it require to maintain your lifestyle? And
such as it is.
Exactly. We don't want you to take a step back. We want you to continue the life that you want to live. Right. And so we naturally talk to you about, okay, you're in your accumulation years. You're saving to a retirement account now, but eventually you're going to get to your distribution years. And what we measure is when you want to retire and the expected life expectancy. So we have mortality rates everything of what the average death rate is for a male or female. So we measure that and say, you know, we don't need to be distributing more than 4% off of our portfolio in retirement years because we run the risk of running out of money.
Right, right.
So a fixed indexed annuity is a great way to protect that because what could help us deplete money? A downturn in the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it naturally takes money away.
Or.
The market's never volatile. it is volatile.
Or, you know, getting that Range Rover or... Oh, you're talking about you have to maintain your lifestyle.
Maintain.
We're talking more like a Toyota Camry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you work your whole life, and I see so many young officers who join the department. They don't think, you know, they just don't think in those terms. And the reminder is, you know, we're living longer. You're going to spend a lot more years not working, and those are the years you should be enjoying. And so this is just another tool in the toolbox.
That's exactly right.
To try to make that. And I've been told, you know, married men live longer than single men. They just wish they were dead. That's a joke. It's a joke. I love you, honey. If my wife's listening, I love you. I'm just kidding.
I keep missing the mic here, so I
apologize.
We're
making him share my share. If it sounds like he's across the room,
that's part of it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear, Adam and I, you know, see a lot of people where they're asking, okay, what is getting that income on a monthly basis look like? Adam, talk to them about the income rider.
So generally the fixed index annuities without an income rider are zero fees. So that's another thing that we're helping you with. You're not paying a lot in the way of fees at all on a fixed annuity. But if we add the income rider, it's typically 1%.
Mm.
Here's what that 1% pays for. Guaranteed income for life. So if we added that rider, if we identified that, hey, I don't have enough to meet the lifestyle expenses, and I need more. So we got Social Security coming in, maybe a pension, but there's a gap. We could take what you've saved and add an income rider, and that will pay you a certain amount for the entirety of your life. So it helps you to be reassured that you're not going to run out of money.
I like to explain that to people because sometimes people have a hard time grasping that. It's almost like creating your own personal pension, right? And that way people have a general idea of like, okay, hey, this is me crafting and modeling what exactly I want it to look like on a regular month-by-month basis.
Well, I want to thank you guys because this all made sense to me.
Yeah, y'all did a great job explaining it.
Yeah, so now I'm all about the, take that, J.G. Wentworth.
Right.
I'm tired of your
propaganda.
So
when that question comes up on Jeopardy, I know.
We're ready.
We're ready.
So this is Adam Martin and Chris Loftus with Strategic Financial Partners. You can go to strategicfinancialpartners.com. That's a good idea, having the name in the website, to get a lot more information. And this has been really good. I hope people have taken away, because as I say, I'm a man of a certain age, even though you probably assumed I was only 30.
I did. Oh.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Wow.
But no, I'm starting to really think about these things, and it's really important. And any of the younger folks, Cassie, Helen, I know you youngsters over there, believe it or not, one day you're going to have to retire. So this is good information.
One day you're going to look like us.
Wow, you don't have to do that to them. My goodness.
My God.
But we thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank
we
y'all.
Really appreciate that.
Thank
we're
you.
Coming up on a break. Britt Taylor's going to join us for our last segment, and we're going to get to it, taking folks to task. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Adam Martin is a registered representative of and offers securities and investment advisory services through ML Investors Services, LLC, member SIPC, Supervisory Office, 949 South Shady Grove Road, Suite 300, Memphis, Tennessee, 38120, 901-767-5951.
Still managing your rental business like a side hustle? Stop risking your cash flow. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to streamline their rental operations for free. From finding tenants you trust to collecting rent on time, we've got you covered at TurboTenant.com.
And welcome back to the show. Of course, Todd's not here today. It's your lucky day. You got Kristen and John here, and we're joined again by one of our all-time favorites, Brent Taylor. So, Brent, we were kind of getting just right into the middle of this ridiculous lawsuit. We were starting to talk about our good friend, Tammy Sawyer. I did want to throw out, I talked to one of my buddies who's involved with the federal task force, and they were down in South Memphis last week, and they were hitting some apartment complexes and picking up a lot of felony warrants. And I said, what was the reaction to the people? And they said, you have never seen so many high fives, back slaps, and people are saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, you know, this whole lawsuit, and this what I think is performative political theater that's going on with the Democrats, I just think it's going to bite them at the ballot box. I certainly hope so.
I hope so. It's already biting them in just the public commentary. And you go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, you go to Mayor Harris's feed, and you see the feedback, and it's all negative for Mayor Harris. People are sick of this. They are sick of their communities being under siege, and they are sick of the leaders saying, oh, here's help. Never mind. We're going to try to take that help back. And then what do we do as citizens when we're stuck between, you know, basically mommy and daddy fighting, and we're the ones who are getting shot in the streets? So, Senator.
Well, it's like the people that joined in this lawsuit. I mean, it was Mayor Harris and Representative Gabby Salinas and J.B. Smiley and a whole merry band of misfits.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like they had a group chat in their head that no one else could hear and thought this would be a good idea. And the fact that they've cut crime in half and they're on the wrong side, they're pro-criminal.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate that people are so openly and blatantly pro-criminal. But, you know, John, you mentioned something in the previous segment that really hasn't been – I've been the only one to really talk about it, and that is how the people who are opposing the National Guard here are using the playbook of the segregationist governors
yes.
in the 1950s and 60s, George Wallace, Ross Barnett, and Orville Faubus, because they, too, objected to the president sending National Guard troops into those states, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi, to desegregate schools. And they were here because the rights of blacks were being violated because they couldn't go to school. And our rights are being violated. We have a right, and Kristen alluded to it, we have a right to be able to enjoy our home. We have a right to be able to enjoy our property. We have a right to be able to move about our city. And our rights have been violated because Do Nothing Lee Harris has refused to do anything about crime. And then when somebody finally takes the bull by the horns to do something about crime, he sues. It's almost like that he ordered a backbone from Amazon and it finally arrived.
It finally arrived after all these years.
That's right. Emu.
And you choose to use it on something that is, in my opinion, immoral, because you're the only one who brought this kind of comparing it back to the previous time. And history has...
And it was Democrats then?
Yeah.
Well, and it's Democrats now?
They're very consistent.
Yes.
It was morally the right thing to do then. Mm-hmm. It is morally the right thing to do now. And history has not been kind to the folks on the wrong side from that time period. And history will not be kind to the people on the wrong side now.
I agree. And I will make this prediction. If Mayor Lockdown Lee Harris, if he invites you to a Harlem Globetrotters game, he will root for the Washington Generals. He just always picks the wrong team.
Brent Taylor, that is quality. I've not heard a good Washington Generals joke in a long time. Hey, so I had something that popped up, and I believe I sent it to you. Our good friend Otis Sanford, you know, he's always on the cutting edge.
Obsessed Otis.
Obsessed Otis. And Mark White had posted something about, thank God that they're here, the federal troops. And, you know, Otis couldn't get on. And I said, you know, based on the feedback I'm getting, I just posted, I'm hearing all these great things. And he says, did anyone ask peaceful, law-abiding immigrants if they feel safe? And I responded that they hate crime just as much as anybody. They're peaceful, law-abiding, legal citizens. And so many times, when I was on patrol, and it was usually in Hispanic neighborhoods, they were getting robbed, and they're sitting there with blood coming out of their mouth while their six-year-old, who's better with the language, is translating to do the report. So they, more than anybody, are benefiting from this. And
using them as political pawns.
Yes,
that is so disgusting to me.
I was offended by his attack. That's what it felt like. And he was just dead wrong.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead wrong on a lot of things. And I know, as an undertaker, I understand dead things. And he's dead wrong on that. And, you know, Otis Sanford he suffers from a double TDS, Trump derangement syndrome and Taylor derangement syndrome. But I like Memphis like I like my iced tea, with a lot of ice.
A lot of ice. That's good. That's good. And look, we're talking about, and so there's this implication out there that if you're here legally, then somehow you're not. You know, if you're here illegally, emphasis on illegal. Yes, you do have something to worry about because you're not supposed to be here.
Which is the point. And all this nonsense about how they're separating families. But, you know, if I were to leave here and go over to the Renaissance Bank down the corner and rob it, and they didn't find me until, Thanksgiving Day, and they come and arrest me, you know what they're going
to
do?
They're going to separate you from your family. They're going to take you to jail. But you know what?
Yeah.
In this case, you can take your family with you back to wherever. You don't have to be separated. You can take them all back. We'll let you do that. So that's a little bit different because everybody can go back with their kids. They can take them back.
Right.
So
if you're here illegally, you should be concerned. You should be very concerned. If you're legal,
well, in Charlotte, they're very concerned because they're not showing up to school. And what was it, 1/7 of the entire school population is illegal, and we have found that out and exposed it, and even more have not shown up. So we have a lot of, not just Memphis, not just Charlotte. Where else is this going on? And that is a big question that we're going to find out the answer to as this, I think this just is going to expand all across the country because we have to get them out.
Well, and we're coming up close to the break. The music will start soon, but I believe you're the one that pointed this out or talked about it, and I've heard Marsha Blackburn talk about this. Well, Memphis being the model of how you deal with these things, the crime, the immigration issues and everything. And
for once, Memphis is a model for something good.
And,
oh, my gosh.
And you're exactly right. You know, it's like the Tigers winning a national championship, something we should all be able to get behind and unite as a community and say, hey, this is working. this is good, and we all feel safer.
That's right. And this whole Memphis Safe Task Force, Memphis is the first city to get this kind of intervention since Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is kind of a special case because it's the nation's capital.
Right, right.
But we have the opportunity to be a model of how the Trump administration and Congress can save great American cities.
We want to thank you, Senator Taylor, for heading this up, along with Todd Starnes. He talked to President Trump and got the ball rolling on that, too. So we have a lot of local people to thank for getting Memphis in the spotlight on this.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank everybody who tuned in today. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.